Studio 360.
On this hour of Studio 360, we are taking a long look at country music, where it's going, where it's been. I spoke with Dolly Parton in 2005 about her new record at that time, Those Were the Days. Of all things, covers of 1960s protest songs, which she released, by the way, at the peak of the Iraq War. We met up in her hotel suite in New York.
Now, you have written literally thousands of songs.
Yeah, well, I've been at it since I was a little bitty kid, and I'm getting up there. So, and I write all the time, so that makes for a whole lot of songs.
So you're still writing?
Oh, yeah, I do it all the time.
But this album is all cover songs of songs people like us grew up listening to on the radio.
Yeah, the 60s and 70s was a great time. It was the sexual revolution. I still ain't sure who won, though, on that one. But these are songs that I've loved and that have touched me and that I used to actually sing before I had enough songs of my own that were recognized by people when I would do shows on the road.
Really?
I would do some of these songs because nobody ever has enough of their own and people like to hear recognizable songs. So I thought, well, I should actually do these songs.
Do you have a favorite track?
Well, I love Where Have All the Flowers Gone an awful lot because I loved singing with Nora Jones and Leanne Womack. But I just love that song because it fits my voice really well. I love those kinds of songs, those old world Irishy kind of songs that kind of fit my voice well.
And your DNA, maybe.
And my DNA, yeah, it does. It goes back a long way. The flowers gone, young girls pick them, everyone. When will we ever learn? I really like that one. I love 12th of Never, getting to sing with Keith Urban. That's the only song that's not from the 60s and 70s. That's from the 50s, I think 57 when Johnny Mathis had that out. But I wanted a really beautiful love duet to sing with Keith. I didn't want to just...
Would you sing much more cheerfully and upbeat than Johnny Mathis did it?
Well, yeah, they say he did it as a prayer. But, of course, I wanted to have a little flavor to kind of Dollyize it. And to me, it was like some of the other things I had done on the past albums, Grass is Blue and Little Sparrow, where I took a few of the old songs, like Shine, and kind of put a little bluegrass flavor and a few things that they would lend themselves well to that up-tempo where you play in a double time, but you kind of still sing it slow. I don't think it took away from the emotion of it, but it still kind of countrified it a bit and bluegrassed it just a little, but it stayed in a loving feeling, I thought. Or maybe I was just got a crush on Keith and just thought it sounded like that. Did to me.
You ask how much I need you, must I explain? I need you, oh my darling, like the roses need the rain. You ask how long I love you, I tell you true, until the 12th of never, I'll still be loving you.
As I was getting ready to talk to you, I couldn't think of any other performer in my lifetime who is both so deeply authentic as a person, as a performer, and so flagrantly artificial at once. Does that appeal to you?
Well, it must. I've been that all my life. I always said, if you know, there's must be some kind of a magic in the fact that I look totally artificial and that I'm totally real, because it's true. But you know what? My artificialness really comes from a sincere place. It was what a little country girl's idea of glamour was. And, you know, like my first impressions of people that I thought was pretty or beautiful, and we didn't have anything, and I certainly am no natural beauty, so if I got any looks at all, it's like something I painted on or bought.
But Marilyn Monroe was the idea of feminine beauty when you were a kid.
Those types of people, but I had patterned my look after the town tramp in her own town. It's true. But it was, I'm sure she was influenced by the Marilyns and all, but I just loved the, you know,
literally
just
a town
look.
Tramp in your town.
Yes, and that's the truth. And it's still...
Was she ever aware of this homage?
Well, no, but she was really beautiful. She was blonde. She had all that yellow hair. She wore tight skirts and she had pretty legs. She wore high heels and she even had a pair of shoes, high heel shoes that were plastic and had plastic goldfish in the heels. And to a little child, when we did get to go to town out of the mountains, I just remember just being in awe of her and her red lipstick and her nails. And I just remember saying, I remember being in town with my mama one time, and I said, oh, she is so pretty. She is so beautiful. And mama said, oh, she's just trash. And I thought, that's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be trash. Because I thought that was like a word meaning how you looked. So I grew up, and I was that. I didn't become trash, but I looked like trash. But that is my look. I enjoy it. It makes me feel good. That's important. If I feel comfortable, then I'm comfortable to do my work. And it's like my work is a separate thing. But I have an outgoing personality, and that look just seems to fit me.
Now, your career has had lots of different chapters and ups and downs. Are there moments when you feel like, well, the media, the public should have paid attention to that thing I did that was great? Why did I fall off the radar then?
No, you know what? I look at my life. I have been so fortunate and so lucky. Of course, you always wish you could stay on the charts, but you also know, I mean, look at all the great years I had, 20, 25 years. I mean, I was like really did well, and people were very kind to me, and new people come along. So you have to kind of move over, but I'm still very serious about my work, and I figure that if I continue to do good work, no matter how old I am, they will eventually pick it up and play some of it, at least here and there now and then. But as I've often said, I'll make my records even if I have to sell them out of the trunk of my car.
And it must be kind of freeing to be able to go and make a couple of bluegrass records that don't have to sell a million copies, or make these, you know, 60s songs that don't have to sell a million songs to your Nashville audience.
It's true, and I'm getting a lot out of that, because now I make jokes about it, and I've said it before that I've finally got rich enough to sing like I'm poor again and be able to afford it, because I own my own little label. I record all these things. I pay for them. I lease them, you know, to a label to distribute them. But I own them. They go back into my family's fund, you know, to my estate. And so I'm enjoying doing things like this particular album of songs I love. People, I want my fans to know the kind of stuff that I also like, not just that I wrote or, you know. So I'm really enjoying doing the bluegrass things, doing the mountain songs, because that's stuff I love. If I could have made a living doing that in the early days, I'd have probably just have done that type of stuff. So I'm not in it for the money now. I used to be in it for the money because I needed to make a living, but now I've been fortunate to have Dollywood and a lot of other business things. But still, my music is my first love. It was a song that brought me out of the mountains. It was a song that built Dollywood. It was a song that has done everything, either one I wrote or one I've sung or one or both. So I will never give up on the love for my music, and I will continue to do it from now on.
Dolly Parton, thanks very much for joining me in Studio 360 today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always good to see you.
Dolly Parton's latest album is the soundtrack for the new movie Dumplin'.
Popcorn soda, box of Raisinets, velvet cushioned seats and soft armrests. Best seat in my favorite movie house. Start my dreaming as the lights go out. Up on the silver screen, I pick